It's time for the PowerMizzou.com podcast with interviews and analysis of your Missouri Tigers. Now, here's your host, Gabe DeArmond.
Welcome back to the PowerMizzou.com podcast. A few weeks off, but we are back because spring football starts next week, basketball wrapping up, and we're going to start today actually talking a little NFL Combine because that recently, in the last few years, has become something Missouri fans care about. So we're going to talk to Eric Edholm with the Shutdown Corner blog of on Yahoo Sports. Eric, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great. Yeah, back from Indy, trying to sort out all this information, some of which matters, some of which doesn't. But it was a busy and productive week down there.
Yeah, let's start there. Of all this stuff that comes out, what really matters?
You know, in talking to evaluators for years now, and I mean, I've been going to this thing since 2003, not every season, but, you know, I've missed three or four along the way. But, you know, it seems to be in order, the medical evaluations, right, depending on who you ask. But I think most teams will say, hey, if there's a player with any kind of injury history, and they do their homework, they'll look back to seventh grade. I'm not even joking on this stuff. But wow. If you have an injury, they're going to ask you about it, especially in this day and age, concussions. But, you know, everything from even ACLs, which seem routine, they want to go through and have their doctors look at it. They want to poke and prod and do all that stuff. And then a close second, I think, is the interview process. And, you know, every team gets 60 interviews. It's hectic. You get 15 minutes with a player. They'll ask them character questions. They'll ask them. They'll put them up on the board and ask them X and O's questions and really grill them. You know, they'll kind of butter them up for 2 or 3 minutes and then really start attacking and seeing how they handle stress and uncomfortable situations. Beyond that, the workouts, I think, are just supplementing what they watch of the players on tape.
Yeah. And we'll get to some general stuff, but I want to start with the Missouri guys because that's obviously what my listeners care about. And
sure.
For their knowledge, you are a Mizzou alum, so you follow these guys maybe a little more closely than some of the national guys. I want to start with Connor McGovern, who, from everything I read, might have really impressed some people up there.
Yeah, and, you know, we as media members obviously are not privy to everything that happens behind closed doors, but I did happen to talk to an evaluator from a team that interviewed Connor McGovern, said he came off very professional, didn't make excuses for what happened on the field, either for his play or for what happened with the team at large this season. And that's what they're looking for, first of all. They want to say, see, how do you guys handle not only success but failure? And what are they accounted for? So one team that I did speak to said, we loved his approach, very businesslike. Wasn't making excuses. They showed 3 straight plays where he made a mistake, and he talked them through the plays and impressed them. So I did get that information on Connor McGovern. I did, you know, see him down at the Senior Bowl as well. But, yeah, he came out of this thing, I think, you know, with a little more polish on him and a little bit more in terms of impressing teams. And, you know, the measurements were pretty good. I mean, he has that good build that I think you're looking for either guard or tackle. I think probably, and this is my guess, I don't know this, I think he'll fit best as an athletic guard, as somebody who can work in a team that tries to get out to the second level, that does some zone blocking. But I wouldn't be shocked if some team still thinks he has potential at tackle, and the flexibility is a good thing. So he could probably play multiple spots. That'll be attractive. And it wouldn't shock me if he goes in that Justin Britt, Mitch Morse range somewhere late second round. So that's kind of what I came out of Indy thinking.
Recruiting is really – the NFL Combine to me is like the next level of what we do covering recruiting.
Yeah.
And, you know, Connor McGovern's a guy who – I mean, nobody knew who he was. He's from Fargo, North Dakota.
Right.
No fanfare. Is he – I think he might be the first Missouri player drafted here. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. And you know, not taking anything away from Kentrell Brothers, who probably was the, you know, most decorated player, I guess, last year, if you will, and maybe you could say Evan Bain. But, yeah, I mean, I think when you look at the importance of NFL positions in college, you love to have a Mike linebacker who can, you know, do a little bit of everything and be your inspirational leader, and that's what Bud Brothers did. But in the NFL, you know, is Kentrell going to play 3 downs? Maybe for the right team or the right situation, sure. But, you know, Connor McGovern projects to be a starting caliber player in the NFL. And you know, Justin Britt, I think I would have guessed was a fourth or fifth round pick. I was surprised he went that high. But looking back, I could sort of see what the Seahawks were thinking in that, you know, he fit the mentality of the team, and I think McGovern sort of checks off some of the same boxes. So, yeah, I think in a year with some good tackle talent, some not as good guard talent, I still think he projects to be late second, early third round pick, and I think, you know, somebody who could be a starter year one or year two.
Well, we'll get to brothers in a minute, but I want to stay on the offensive line. And center is such a weird position. I mean, other than every 3 or 4 years, it seems like even the best center is like a third or a fourth round pick. Yeah. Is that what Evan Bain is, or do you think, is he another guy that maybe an NFL team tries a guard?
Yeah, I think probably the first thinking, the first thought is going to be center with him, just because he's done it. He's been good there. He has that kind of center mentality. He's going to be a leader, and the intangibles will push that up. He can be a little bit lighter inside. And first of all, I had a blast talking to him. There were about 7 or 8 media members, including Jim Thomas from St. Louis. But a lot of people, I think, were kind of meeting him for the first time. Came away really impressed with his demeanor. Again, it's the media session. How much does it really matter? Who knows? But I could see him really having impressed teams. So that made a good impression, I think, for him. Yeah, I think center is the way he probably goes. This year is actually a decent year for centers. You know, we the last couple years in the draft, there haven't been a ton of great talent. You have a kid named Ryan Kelly from Alabama who I think will go very high. No one knows what to make of Max Turk from USC because he's coming off an injury and he weighed in a bit. You know, like 275 pounds. So he's got to put weight back on. And then you have that group of Evan Bain, Jack Allen, kid from Michigan, Graham Glasgow, that Jim Harbaugh's really been pushing, and a handful of other guys. So all could go in that third, fourth, fifth round. So, you know, one or two of these guys will slide just because of positional need, and some teams may only view him as a center. But, yeah, I think that's probably what we're thinking. Round four makes a lot of sense. He'd be a great way to kick off the third day of the draft for some team.
All right, now back to Kentrell, and like we said, hey, this is recruiting. It's largely a beauty contest. Kentrell Brothers is a kid I've watched for 4 years and just said, I don't know what the numbers say. I don't know what the physical stuff says. I watch him and the kid can play football. If it's me, that's what I want in a draft pick, but sometimes that seems to not be the most important thing.
Yeah, right. And, I mean, I definitely agree with you. I mean, he was such a playmaker, always around the ball. You know, could work well in reverse as well as going forward. I think if NFL teams are sitting there nitpicking, number one, a couple things. First of all, it's a pretty good inside linebacker group. Maybe that position is slightly reemerging a little bit. I think in 3 or 4 years, we'll have seen this league cycle back towards the run game. And so that position, I think, will have some versatility and some value. You know, and teams love linebackers that can stay on the field for 3 downs. He did it in college. I think he has a chance to do it in the NFL. But I think he's got to be protected up front, or at least that's the idea of some NFL people. If he's inside or weak side, he's got to be covered up because they see short arms and they see a short build. They see a guy who's kind of stumpy at 6 foot and 249 pounds. This is how the NFL does it. They nitpick, you know, and they if you don't fit a box, if you're not exactly like the last guy they drafted in a position, sometimes they have trouble envisioning it, you know. There aren't a ton of Zach Thomases running around the NFL, but you could have Kentrell, Scooby Wright, some other guys at that position who break the mold a little bit. So I'm with you. I think he's great. Yeah, he's a mature kid. He's handled some stuff pretty well, I think. He's fun to talk to. He loves football. He seems like a grinder. So all those things factor in. Wouldn't shock me at all if he's a third-round pick and you know, factors into a team right away, at least on special teams, if not, you know, playing some on defense as well.
We hear every year about the stupid questions these teams ask these kids. What I don't think would be a stupid question, I don't know if you got any sense from talking to teams or talking to the kids. Do you know how much the Missouri players were asked about everything that went on with camp on campus and how they felt about it and all that last year?
I talked to Kentrell at the Senior Bowl, and he said, you know, that in the teams that he met with, absolutely it came up. What was your role? Were you a leader? Were you trying to rally the guys? Were you trying to listen to everybody? What were you doing, basically, is how he answered that. So I think it was from an informational standpoint, less judgmental, more of a, What role did you play? And when I didn't specifically ask him, but somebody asked Connor McGovern about, just how crazy a year or two it's been. And, he talked more about how the program as a whole sort of, hey, listen, people knew inside the program for months about Michael Stan, maybe even years. They kept it internal. Then they talked about the protest, sort of how people handled that. And it was more about listening to their teammates, seeing what was the greater good. Evan Bain talked about it a lot. And I think, I think he obviously played something of a role in what happened with Matty Mock and the leadership and how he handled things on maybe a little bit of a higher level. The coaches just trusted him so much, it seems. So it was really fascinating to hear him kind of talk through that process and playing the whole year with an injury too, and how mentally grueling everything was. But, he had a games played streak that he was proud of. He felt like he was a locker room leader. Yeah, he wasn't most physically ready to deal with the season after that early injury, but he said, it's my job to kind of block all that stuff out and to be as strong and put on a good face as I possibly can.
Talking with Eric Edholm for just a couple more minutes about the NFL Combine. I look at this year, tell me if I'm wrong here, but Carson Wentz may be a top five pick. You've got to have some questions about a guy like Kim DJ who could be the number one pick. This is a year I'm a Chiefs fan. I remember the Eric Fisher year and go, oh, Lord, why do we have to have the number one pick this year? Is that what teams are thinking? Why is it this year we're in the top five?
Yeah, right. It's funny. You've already heard the Dallas Cowboys, just come, there's a report that maybe they're not looking at a quarterback. And when you consider that they have this enormous advantage, picking fourth in the draft, they have some talent. It's just one of those crazy years where they get hurt. They coached Carson Wentz at the Senior Bowl. They had him for a week with their coaches. They saw him every minute of every day. Mm-hmm. They taught him schemes and had him play it out on the field. They have an advantage that no other team does. And Jerry Jones is telling Gil Brandt, there's no way we're drafting a QB with the fourth pick. Look, you're in a position to trade up and secure your franchise for the next decade if you think he's the guy. Now, maybe they're playing some poker here. Maybe they're sending out these mixed signals. I don't think they are, though. It just feels like they like Carson Wentz. I think he's a good kid. Maybe in 3 years you've got something. But, they're not willing to take that risk. To me, that says something pretty important. I think both he and Jared Goff are interesting players. I think Goff probably compares in some ways to Alex Smith. I think he's not going to hurt your franchise. He could win a lot of football games. I don't know that he'll ever be great. So, that's kind of where we are with this draft. Now, to me, the two best players could be Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack. Jack's got the injury. Ramsey didn't have a ton of production college. So you still have, there's not that one guy. Laramie Tunsil, possibly top pick in the draft, missed seven games last year. He's a left tackle. Is he really going to dominate and change games? Like you said, it is an Eric Fisher-like draft, maybe a little stronger at the top. But still, one of those years where it doesn't scream obvious pick in the first couple slots.
Yeah, let me throw one random guy out at you. He won't be the top pick. I'd think about it. Vernon Hargraves.
He's a fascinating one because probably 90% of the games he played, he was outstanding. Really, really good. And then he had a couple of clunkers, including the bowl game. And he's a 5'10" corner who, if he loses a step along the way, whether it's a knee injury or what have you, anything that happens that caused him to kind of lose a step, because he was fast but not blazing fast. He was kind of the mid 4.4s, good speed. I'm all of a sudden really worried about him. Is he a guaranteed top 10 pick if we're talking about a 5'10.5" corner with good but not elite speed? That's why Ramsey, to me, is that much more attractive. 210 pounds, and he runs faster. And he flips his hips so fluidly. So Hargraves has that swagger, and he's faced SEC receivers now for 3 years. He's been that heralded high school recruit. I'm not 100% on him. I need to keep kind of grinding on him a little bit. So that's a tricky one.
All right, last thing for you. Not a professional observation, anything like that. You're a Mizzou alum. Gary Pinkel out, Barry Odom in. Just what's kind of been your thoughts on, what's happened with Mizzou football the last few months?
Yeah, it's obviously been fascinating to watch, and I'm not as close to the situation as you are. I still talk to some people in Columbia both inside the program and outside. And, you know, kind of get the bits and pieces reports and, of course, read what you guys write. And it's just been so fascinating to see how, on the one hand, it's a handoff. You know, it's an assistant under Pinkel who knows the way his system was run, probably had some ideas of his own. But then you think about how drastically the coaching staff has changed.
Yeah.
That, I don't know. That, to me, is what is so fascinating. He's making some bold moves right away, Barry Odom is. And I think he knows football. I was there when he played, and you were there. And we were in that same era where he was that, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps linebacker and everything. But this is a lot on his plate to sort of run a defense and with some help and be the head guy, first-time head coach, following in some pretty big footsteps. That's a lot to ask of Barry Odom. I'm going to be fascinated to see how he handles it.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be fun. Eric, I know you got a lot of stuff going on. Appreciate you taking some time, and I guess you're a little bit busy here for the next couple months.
Yeah, I am, but it's going to be fun, though. I like this time of year, free agency, the draft. We've got a team. I don't want to, you know, upset any St. Louis folks. We do have a team relocating, which is new for us in the last couple decades. So a lot going on in the NFL right now.
Hey, real quick, Mizzou fans who want to read your stuff, where do they follow you on Twitter? Where do they find everything you put out?
Yeah, Twitter is Eric with a C _ Edholm, Edholm. Also check out Shutdown Corner on Twitter and on the web. And we cover the NFL top to bottom, the fun stuff, the serious stuff, and kind of everything in between. So I hope you find it a must-read.
All right, man, good catching up with you, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Sounds good, Gabe. Talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot. That's Eric Edholm, Shutdown Corner blog on Yahoo Sports. Does a great job. Check their stuff out if you're an NFL fan. And, you know, again, he's a Mizzou alum. And you guys always like those voices in the national media. So check out what Eric has to say. And every now and then we'll have some observations on the Tigers on Twitter as well. All right, going to turn our attention for a few minutes to Missouri spring football, which starts in 5 days. Pete Scantlebury going to be doing the heavy lifting for us at spring football. And Pete, I guess every year, this time of year, people get excited about spring football. A little more intriguing this time around.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, they kind of clamped down a little bit more on access this year, which I guess is understandable given that it's a new staff, new offense, probably a somewhat new defense. But it certainly should be interesting to kind of see how the pieces are fitting together on both sides of the ball, especially some of these new guys and the redshirt freshmen that we either haven't seen or, you know, haven't seen in 6 months.
Yeah, we're obviously going to cover every angle that we can over the 8 practices we get to see, including the black and gold game. But we'll start on offense. Give me the 30,000-foot, you know, 3 things that you are watching going into spring football. Well, I mean, on offense, quarterback, running back, offensive line, wide receiver, tight end. Other than that, I thought Missouri was good last year.
Yeah, and I think the most important things probably in order this year are number 1 offensive line, number 2 quarterback, and then number 3 running back. You know, they only have 2 guys with starting experience coming back on the offensive line, and Alec Ablin and Nate Crawford, and they have 2 other guys who have some experience late in the year, and Kevin Pendleton and Paul Adams. But other than that, it's a lot of question marks, and even those guys are question marks too, because again, 2 of those 4 have not seen much playing time. You know, at quarterback, obviously you could tell that Drew Locke was kind of in over his head by the end of the year. And it's understandable given the problems around him and, you know, him being a true freshman, he's seen rattles. And after the injury in the BYU game, which, you know, that was the most promising game of the year. And then unfortunately in that long run, he gets injured. That kind of just sums up the season. You know, he's supposedly he's put on about 10 to 15 pounds. It's supposed to be completely healthy. And I don't think there's any doubt, you know, they want this to be his team. But the question is, can he bounce back from a year like last year, especially happening to him at such a young age? And then running back, I just don't even know who the guy is going to be there. I don't think anybody knows. And maybe the coaching staff does, but nobody stepped up last year. They have a lot of rotational guys, but nobody seems to be the guy going into this year.
Yeah, and I don't think they know either. How amazing is it that we just talked about the Missouri offense and you listed off the 3 biggest areas of concern, and I'm not sure I disagree with you. And we didn't even talk about wide receiver, which was, to be kind, dreadful last year. I mean, that shows you just how bad offensively they were.
Yeah, yeah. And I think a big thing with wide receiver, I mean, they have so many bodies there. I do think they have some good talent. I think what will make wide receiver easier is improved offensive line play and improved play of Drew Lock. I think it's very much more complementary piece than offensive line and quarterback are, where it's more standalone and independent of wide receiver. So that's why I don't think it's as big of an issue. And again, they have like 25 scholarship players there. So I think somebody will step up this spring.
Yeah, same thing on defense. And we'll start, to me, the number one thing I've been told, hey, you know, Terry Beckner, he's not going to be full go in spring football, but he might be able to do some things. To me, number one is he, you know, back enough that he's ready for the season? But beyond that, what are you looking at over there?
Yeah, I think a big thing is it's safety. I think that position has the most question marks at this point because the numbers are kind of thin. We're still waiting to get confirmation on, you know, whether Cam Hilton is going to be back at safety to kind of help out there. But other than Anthony Sherrills, you know, they have a lot of guys who, you know, a guy like Thomas Wilson who's in playing time, but mostly as a nickel safety. So I think there are some question marks back there in replacing Ian Simon, who's a lot steadier and solid than I think people gave him credit for. And then the other big thing for me is just replacing Kentrell Brothers, not only because of his talent, but because, you know, Barry Odom and DeMonte Cross have both said that weak side linebacker position is the playmaker position on their defenses. So now you have to find somebody that maybe is not going to probably replicate Kentrell Brothers, but it's going to be ready to be the playmaker there. I think there's a couple of options. You know, I think Joey Burkett will get the first look there just because he was the backup last year. I think another potential option, given that guys like Brandon Lee and Terrez Hall, there's a lot of potential there and they can kind of move around. I think another option would be moving Donovan Newsome over to weak side linebacker because he finally started to live up to his potential last year in terms of athleticism. I mean, he's certainly probably the most athletic linebacker they have.
Yeah, and we don't ever come out of spring football proclaiming to, like, have answers or be able to say anything. Probably even more true, only getting to see 7 practices in the spring game. But more intrigue, in my opinion, I think this is the 13th one I've covered, and it's the first one I've covered with a new head coach. So I think the biggest question is just, how much different is everything?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I mean, it seems, and just talking about the access again for us, it seems like it's, you know, we don't get to go to as many practices, but at the same time, we can talk to just about everybody. And, you know, we talk to Barry Odom now after every single practice, in addition to a handful of assistants. So I think we will be able to find out some stuff about especially the personality of the staff and how they interact with the players. But yeah, in terms of the offense they're running, I don't think we'll know much of anything. I mean, you'll see something in the spring game, but even last year, Barry Odom was kind of scoffing at the idea that the spring game had to be televised because he thought it gave an unfair advantage to everybody they play this year, last year. So I guarantee you it's going to be a pretty vanilla spring game again this year.
Yeah, well, I'm just highly disappointed they're not doing it down in Tampa, but, you know, that's just me.
Yeah, if only.
All right, man. Appreciate it, Pete. We'll talk to you later.
Anytime.
All right, have a good one. Pete Scantlebury he's going to be the lead. He's going to do the heavy lifting day-to-day stuff for us on spring football. I will be there. Brian Austin will be there. Jordan Cotton are going to be taking some pictures. So we will have spring football covered. First practice, 3:30 on Tuesday afternoon. Spring game sometime in April. I want to say it's the 16th. I'd have to look at my calendar to be positive about that. But, you know, there's so much we don't know. So much we're going to find out. How's Barry Odom going to run this thing over the next few weeks? So certainly a lot of intrigue there. One more basketball game, 6:30 Saturday night against Florida. And then, as I said after the LSU game, we turn our attention to the only question that anybody has at this point. Is Kim Anderson still going to be the coach of this team next year? And I know you guys will probably accuse me of waffling on this and not committing. I don't know. I said a couple weeks ago I felt like he was coming back. barring disaster. And I don't know if the last 2 weeks have been disaster, but they haven't been very good. I don't know if a decision's been made. I don't feel like it has been. I think by this time next week, if we do a podcast next Thursday, I think we'll have an answer by then. I think we'll know if Kim Anderson's coming back or if they decide to go in a different direction. I think a lot of it has to do with what does Mac Rhodes think he could get if he did choose to move on. I don't get the feeling in talking to people I talk to that he's going to move on just to move on. You don't fire Kim Anderson to just hire a guy. You fire Kim Anderson if you think you can get, or if you, I should say, if you know, not if you think, if you know you've got a guy that everybody's going to go, wow, that's better than we thought they could do. I don't know. The question's going to come up after the Florida game to Kim Anderson, to Mac Rhodes, if he's there and he talks. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting 4 to 6 days, I would say. Sometime between Tuesday and Thursday of next week, maybe we get some sort of a statement out of Missouri, one direction or the other. Could be after the SEC tournament, but I would think if you're Missouri, if you're going to do something, and even if you're not going to do something, you want it out there. You want to decide. This discussion has gone on every day for the better part of 14 months. It needs to end one way or the other. Either he's coming back or he's not coming back, and we're on a coaching search again. But that can't last past next week to me. That has to be done. I think the SEC tournament tips off Tuesday with the one, you know, game between two teams that are fighting to get to play one more day. Then I think it's Wednesday through Saturday. And honestly, I don't know as much this year because I don't have to go. But I think it's Wednesday through Saturday is the tournament. To me, by the time that Wednesday game tips off, I'd want it over and done with one way or the other. But I'm not Mac Rhodes. He doesn't ask me what I want or what I think he should do, so we'll see how it all plays out. We certainly will cover it again Saturday night, 6:30 against Florida, spring football next Tuesday. Thanks to Pete for jumping on, Eric Edholm for breaking down the NFL Combine, and we'll be back on the podcast next week.